So our next speaker is Melanie Poulin, and Melanie is with the airline division local 4092. Melanie lives in Toronto, where she has worked as a flight attendant for the last 11 years. She's a band member of the Bearskin Lake First Nation in northwestern Ontario, where Oji-Cree is the Indigenous dialect widely used. She was first introduced to activities of a unionized and political nature when she started with the University of Winnipeg Students Association. She earned a bachelor's degree in sociology and criminal justice studies. She now is actively involved in her Aboriginal community by participating in sharing circles and motivational speaking to youth in remote communities of the Anishinaabe Aski Nation region. She enjoys returning to her home community to meet, to visit, we say Mushum and Kukum, it's a little bit different, grandmother and grandfather. Presently, Melanie is a chairperson of the local women's committee of the airline division of CUPE since 2006, and she's attended many labor movement conferences, listed her assistance wherever needed. She joined the National Aboriginal Council 1 year ago, and she's participated in rallies, attended a convention, is marked with marched with fellow activists concerning women's and First Peoples issues. She's going to be addressing the issue of workplace violence. So please welcome Melanie.
Hi, good morning. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge the Kahnawake First Nation for letting us gather here on your traditional territory. And today I'm going to speak to you about protecting women from violence in the workplace. 19 years after the shocking and senseless murder of 14 women here in the province of Quebec, we still have our work cut out for us as we fight violence against women. Senseless violence occurs to women in our homes and in our workplaces. We are most at risk because we are the frontline workers. We are the service providers in this country, social workers, receptionists, cashiers, nurses, teachers, and flight attendants. All too often, we are the recipients of violence from patients, customers, clients, students, and airline travelers who are frustrated and angry when they can't get the public services they need. Gender-based violence is arguably the most widespread and socially tolerated of human rights violations. It both reflects and reinforces inequities between men and women and comprises the health, dignity, security, and autonomy of its victims. Working women are subjected to many forms of violence. Physical and emotional battering in any workplace may be done through psychological and verbal abuse. Sexual assault is defined by Stats Canada as forced sexual activity, an attempt at forced sexual activity, or unwanted sexual touching, grabbing, kissing, or fondling. Physical assault is an attack where a victim was hit, slapped, grabbed, knocked down, or beaten, a face-to-face threat of physical harm, or an incident with a weapon present. Bullying by co-workers and management also constitutes emotional violence as it causes decreased moral and productivity in the recipient, as well as increased absenteeism and customer complaints. According to the 2004 General Social Survey, 17% of all self-reported incidents of violent victimization, including sexual assault, robbery, and physical assault, occurred in the workplace. There have been over 356,000 violent workplace incidents in Canada's 10 provinces. Workplace violence incidents were much more common in certain employment sectors. For example, 33% of workplace violence incidents involved a victim who worked in social assistance or healthcare services. 14% of incidents involved victims working in accommodation or food services, and 11% of the incidents were committed against those working in educational services. Domestic violence has an adverse effect in the workplace. The American Institute on Domestic Violence has found domestic violence victims lose nearly 8 million days of paid work per year. This is the equivalent of 32,000 full-time jobs. There are immediate physical consequences, such as injury, medical attention, hospitalization, emotional damage, and broader societal level impacts, such as the economic costs of violence. This impact will be felt at the job site with the loss of productivity and an escalation in the usage of sick days. Violence affects different working women differently. It affects us in our workplaces, whether or not it occurs at work or in the home. It affects us in whatever role that we have. We are the traditional caregivers in society, and we may lose what is necessary to be a healthy mother, a grandmother, a sister, a daughter, and a friend. Historically, flight attendants have long been viewed in a harmful stereotype, which is not only hurtful, but has resulted in violence. We have been called many things over the years, which not only reinforced this negative stereotype to society. Terms such as flying mattress and notions that we have a man in every port are both hurtful and false. Let's not forget the infamous Mile High Club either. All of these stereotypes were created by men, for men, and are unnecessary and completely false. Stereotypes encourage drunk passengers to engage in inappropriate behavior, such as sexual harassment and assault. Flight attendants were treated as sex objects in the 70s, and sadly, many still harbor this view today. Flight attendants were made to wear sexually exploitive uniforms and frilly underwear under their skirts, so the male passengers were able to see the underwear when the flight attendant would reach above the male passengers' heads to close the overhead bins. At Pacific Western Airways, a flight attendant was disciplined for refusing to wear the frilly underwear designed to show under the PWA Stampede outfit. She only refused to wear the outfit after a drunk passenger touched her in an inappropriate manner. This resulted in an arbitration that started the movement to end sexually exploitive uniforms. Flight attendants are also assaulted on layovers. Some airlines have a policy where they have a coworker who is checking into the same hotel physically walk the female flight attendants to their hotel room and do a walk-around inspection of the closets, showers, behind the curtains, and even under the beds. This makes for an even greater challenge in foreign countries, as it is even more difficult to report cases of assault because they have to deal with the local authorities and laws. For me, this is more than just about someone else's problem. My own experience with violence in the workplace has to do with the daily abuse from disgruntled passengers who might swear or throw something when unforeseen delays occur. It can be as simple as not having enough newspapers for every single person and being called an idiot in front of everyone. At the end of my shift, I'm left feeling helpless, confused, and devalued. Unfortunately, there isn't enough in our collective agreements to protect us from violence. Employers are quick to investigate complaints from customers, but when it comes to protecting the workers, claims are dismissed as frivolous, and victims are encouraged to drop the claim. We have a few provisions in our collective agreement with Air Canada regarding this issue. Article 10 is about domestic violence. Here, the company acknowledges women are sometimes victimized in the home and will not discipline the employee for time lost. Article 24 mentions that Air Canada will uphold and enforce the Human Rights Code. In addition, Air Canada has a workplace harassment policy and enforces legislation from the Canada's Labour Code. There are changes which must be made in the Human Rights Code, Occupational Health and Safety Act, and the Employment Standards Act. It is important to form alliances with women from other unions and in your community. The Ontario Federation of Labour has a violence in the workplace campaign at the moment. They feel that women need legislative reforms and a more effective and strongly enforced regulations. Working women in Canada need health and safety regulations that define violence as a hazard in all its forms and from all sources. We need an Employment Standards Act which will leave provisions that include job protection for abused women who need time to find housing, deal with custody or divorce, or other legal issues, and time to heal. Furthermore, every employer should offer a confidential employment assistance program to allow employees subject to workplace violence or those with personal problems to seek help. In addition, working women need a safe workspace with proper security measures in place. And lastly, Canadian women need workers' compensation coverage for chronic stress due to harassment, verbal and emotional abuse. Our collective agreements are a useful tool we should utilize to combat problems we face in the workplace. Women must lift their voices around workplace problems to stewards, our presidents, and bargaining teams to ensure collective agreement language is there to protect us, as changing the laws and the acts are and such are slow-moving and can be cumbersome, whereas collective agreement language is grievable and it's dealt with much quicker. All Canadian women and employers stand to benefit from a workplace free from violence and harassment. There is an imbalance of power at this time when Canadian women are still being victimized at home and in their workplaces. This is an unjust system which keeps the power in the hands of the abusers. We as feminists need to educate each other and share in the responsibility of fixing this problem. Collectively, we can accomplish anything we set our minds to. What help is out there? Abused women have support from us as union women. Abused women should consult professionals and service providers such as EAP. Reach out to people you trust. Learn about the many resources available in your union office or community. Turn to your culture or an elder for healing. Just remember, if this happens to you, it is not your fault and you do not deserve it. It is not part of your job description. As union women, it is our duty to talk about it and educate one another in our workplaces. Let's raise awareness and engage the public by holding rallies, campaigns, and forming committees with sister unions. We should organize workplace sharing circles to talk about the impact violence has on women, or talk to elders to see how traditional teachings may help in educating each other on violence. We need to advocate that this issue is not taken lightly and will not be tolerated in our homes and workplaces. In closing, I would like to thank the organizers and QP for listening to women and putting together such a great conference, which will empower our union women.